Well, I'm glad to be here with you folks again, and you can breathe a sigh of relief because I won't be preaching except this morning. We have three young ladies over here that were subjected, to use Dr. Barrett's words, to this old codger's preaching for some time in Western Canada. Well, now, some of you folks might need an interpreter. So if you see anybody who looks like they're from the South, you might just want to get over by their elbow so they can tell you what I'm saying. So we're going to turn to God's Word this morning to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And these young ladies will be greatly relieved that we finally finished chapter 1. Okay. Genesis chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. Let us give our attention to God's Word. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Amen. We'll end our reading there with that third verse. And I trust that the Lord will give us understanding according to His Word. Let us join together in prayer and let us ask His help. Gracious God, we are glad for the privilege to come to Thee in and through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for that righteousness of which we have been singing. We praise Thee for the power of the blood of Jesus to transform those who are so wretched by nature into the very saints of God. And Lord, we are amazed at Thy grace. We pray that Thou wilt open Thy Word to our hearts, O God. We confess that the working of our minds are not enough to get from Thy Word what we need. Oh, we need the help of the Holy Ghost. And we pray that Thou wilt not only open our minds, but open to us this glorious book. We pray that Thou wilt cause us to see our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our true Sabbath. Lord, we wait upon Thee. We pray that Thou wilt minister to the deep needs of our hearts today. Lord, we confess that we need a stirring. We need to be brought into a consciousness of the triune God. We need, O Lord, to be revived in a day of darkness and apostasy. And Lord, we need Thy grace to come. O Spirit of God, that Thou wouldst pour out saving grace, regenerating grace on those who have no firm hope of heaven. Lord, we trust in Thee to do good to all Thy people, to minister to every need today. We pray that Thou wilt not only bless here as we gather before Thee. Lord, remember all those places where we normally are. Bless every preacher of Thy holy gospel. We pray that Thou wilt bless across this continent. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt send forth laborers into the harvest, even from this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord, having finished His great work of creation, comes now to the seventh day. And on this day, He rested. He had been very active in those previous 6 days, making the heavens and the earth, filling the heavens with His creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the many birds that He filled the heavens with. And the earth that He had made was teeming with life, not only with the lush plant life that covered the earth, but also a great variety of animals. And of course, the waters of the earth were filled with marine life. And at last, the Lord brought man. On the latter part of the sixth day, the Lord created man after He had created the animals and brought man into this wonderful place that He had made. The place that He said was so good and even perfect. This word that we read in verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. That is, He had brought to perfection His creation. There was as yet no sin. It was the most wonderful paradise that He had made. Now, after He had done all of this, immediately the Holy Spirit moved Moses to write that God turned from His creative activity to the rest and the refreshment of the Holy Sabbath. Now this at once ought to impress us of the great importance that God sets on the Sabbath day. He takes this glorious day, even before a single page is written about man's activity, before there is any recording or chronicling of man's deeds or man's history, the Lord gives us before that the very institution of the Sabbath day. And so this certainly signifies to us that the Sabbath day is very important to the Lord our God. And to fail to keep the Sabbath day is a sin of the first magnitude. Now, this is a very important matter. I don't know what you think about the Sabbath day. I don't know what your normal practice is regarding the Sabbath day. But you should ask yourself, how do I feel about the Sabbath? What do I believe about the Sabbath? And do I celebrate this day in a way that I do not celebrate the other days of the week? Well, I think it's most important because, as I said in prayer a little bit ago, that the Sabbath, with all of its connections, with all of the things that have to do with the Sabbath day, it is a great object lesson of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sabbath is not a thing. The Sabbath is really the reflection of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to look at three things regarding the Sabbath, God helping us. We're going to look first of all at its beginning or its origin, then its binding or its obligation, that it is still valid. It is still that which applies to our lives. And thirdly, it's blessing. And there is special blessing for those that obey. A special blessing for obedience on the Sabbath. Now, it's beginning or origin here in Genesis chapter 2. You may say, well, I didn't see the word Sabbath there. Well, of course not. The Hebrew word for rested in verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day. This word for rested is the Hebrew word shabbath. He shabbathed on that day. God shabbathed. And this word is the one usually translated Sabbath. It means cessation, to cease. And God ceased from something, but God did not cease from everything. If God had ceased from everything, then the creation would have exploded or imploded. No, God ceased from making new kinds of things on that day. God was not at all tired. The Creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary, Isaiah 40 tells us. He continued His work of providence. At that moment, He was still upholding all things by the word of His power. If God had ceased from His work of providence, then the world, the earth, the heavens as we know them would have been gone. They had to be upheld by God. Jesus said as much in John's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 17. He said, "My Father worketh hitherto," or "to this point My Father worked." Now the Jews were very angry with Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus dared to do something like His Father had been doing for thousands of years. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath day, miraculously, simply by His word or by His touch, Jesus would heal. And God the Father had, from the time of the fall, by His providential powers, been healing people. How many people had He healed? Even on the Sabbath day. So Jesus is saying, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Well, thank God for the work of Jesus in healing. Three times in the two verses that right here in the first two verses, there's reference to the end, to the cessation of God's creative work. He was resting from the kind of activity that He had pursued during those previous 6 days of creation. Now by this, He is teaching us that the Sabbath day is not a day just to bum out and do nothing. It's good to rest. I was telling Brother Cortapella there that my wife and son were laughing at me before they came to Sunday school. Preacher needed a little more time, but they were laughing because I had been sitting there on the bed, or I guess you could say reclining on the bed, reading my Bible, and I had passed away into Never Never Land. So they were enjoying a good laugh at the old man. But the Sabbath day is not just a day. It is a day for rest, but it is a day for activity of a different kind than we do the rest of the week. It is a time where our attention should be directed more vertically than it is the other days of the week. Of course, the other days we should have time to direct our thoughts upward to God, but mostly on the other 6 days we are concerned about the vertical things. But one day of the week is that to give extra special attention to the Lord and to the things of God. Now this day was signally blessed by the Lord because it was the day on which He rested. It was not blessed because of the number of the day. Some people tell us that, you know, it has to be the seventh day of the week, which was yesterday. And they say that we have the mark of the beast on us because we're worshiping on the first day of the week. Well, I hardly think so, because if it had actually been the case, why would God send revival upon the people of God who had the mark of the beast on them? You know, all the time when God has sent great awakenings, it has been upon those people who worshiped on the first day of the week. And if this is actually the most horrendous sin in the universe, to worship the first day of the week, then surely God couldn't have overlooked it, you know. Even if the rest of us did. Well, this day, of course, is the day of worship. It is the Christian Sabbath. And God blessed the day not because it was number seven. Because in Exodus chapter 20, God said, "Remember the Sabbath day." He doesn't say, "Remember the seventh day," but "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." He established right at the end of creation this principle that one whole day out of seven was to be set apart, especially to rest. To rest the spirit, the soul, and the body. You say, well, God rested, but He didn't have a body. Well, it's true. God, at that time, did not take to Himself a human body, but He made the Sabbath for man. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 2, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God set one day out of seven apart, and that is the very meaning of verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He set it apart. He set apart one day out of seven. He did that by His own example, and He separated the Sabbath from the six preceding days of labor and made it something very different. Now I want you to notice in the second place, not only was there a beginning or origin of the Sabbath, there's also a binding, an obligation that it still applies. Old Dr. W.H. Griffith Thomas wrote, and this man, I believe, leaned toward the dispensational position, he said, the Sabbath being grounded in creation is of permanent obligation. So that has a great force coming from someone who believed that way. It was ordained before the fall. And it was only one of two institutions. One of two institutions that comes down to us now from the paradise, from that state of innocence. What are those two institutions? The institution of marriage and the institution of the Sabbath. The only two things that come to us from that unfallen condition. Now, we know that the Sabbath day was pre-Mosaic. It was not tied to the Jewish economy. God said in Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath day, because this was something that had been an obligation already for 2,000 years before the covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai. As Brother A.W. Pink boldly declared, it was obviously an appointment for the entire human race and not just something for a small group of people. Jesus stated the Sabbath was made for man, meaning not for a mere fraction of mankind, but for the totality of the human race. The institution of the Sabbath was the first act of God after the earth had been made fit for human habitation. And when man was actually put there, the Sabbath was put there for mankind. The law of God and the very constitution of human nature make the Sabbath necessary. Believe it or not, those of you who don't believe in rest, I see some of you believe in rest. Some of you hold it as a primary doctrine. But anyway, those of you who don't believe in rest, it's still good for you. And John Calvin wrote, since it has come down to us from the earliest days of the earth, it is to be employed by resting, by meditation, and the worship of God till the end of the world. It's interesting, isn't it? If you look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, you count the words sometimes. You know, I have a problem counting. Maybe these things. I don't know what it is, but I count it and I get a different number of words, but it's somewhere very close to 93 words. Sure, a lot more letters, but 93 words in the fourth commandment having to do with the Sabbath day. Now that actually is more than the total number of words for seven other of the commandments. So can I say then that the Sabbath day is really not very important to God if He takes that much space to tell us about it? Well, I hardly think so. Yet there are many who teach and practice that God's law concerning the Sabbath is no longer applying to our time. Well, Dr. Horatius Bonar put forward some very interesting or some of you who know how to speak properly, I think it's Bonner, but you know, I'm a southern boy, it's Bonar. Oh, Brother Horatius. Well, he said there were, if you can prove that these four things are not so, then you don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore. So get out your pencil and paper and get to work on these four things. And if you prove that these things are false, then you don't have to keep a Sabbath anymore. Okay, here they are. Number one, that the Ten Commandments no longer apply. Number two, that Christ came to lessen the privileges of the people of God now rather than to enlarge them over the ancient people of God. And then number three, that the Sabbath is not a blessing, but is unnatural, intolerable, and a curse. And then number four, that the Sabbath was exclusively Jewish and fell with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD with all of the rest of the ceremonial law. There goes the Sabbath. So if you can cogently prove all those things for yourself and for the rest of us, then please let me know. All right. Now then, the early church, the apostolic fathers and the Antonicene fathers were united. They were unanimous in the keeping of the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, as the Christian Sabbath. All the Christian groups who founded our nation in the 1600s, the 1700s, kept the Holy Sabbath. And our Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechisms, along with the Old Baptist Confession of Faith and Catechism, declares that we must obey God in regard to the keeping of His day holy. The evening of the seventh day never comes up. Every other day of creation you see, the evening and the morning was the first day and all the way down to the sixth day. But when you come to this, there's not one. The day is mentioned, but the evening is never mentioned. So the end of keeping God's day holy continues on. It is never come to the point of cessation. For God's people, for those who would obey His Word, of course for many people, they could care less. But the observance of the Sabbath day is to be perpetuated as long as time endures. Now we come to the last point. Rejoice and be glad. Finally we come to the blessing on obedience. For those who observe the Sabbath, there's a blessing for obedience. The Sabbath was not designed to be a burden, but a blessing. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. The family and the nation that faithfully observes the Sabbath, and those that have in history, have been signally blessed by God. But if you will carefully study history, you will find that those families and those nations that have ignored, neglected, or purposely not kept the Sabbath day, they have been very cursed, sadly. Now, Ignatius said, God has so blessed the Sabbath as a means of blessing to the person who sanctifies it. So if you will sanctify the Sabbath, God will turn that around to bless your soul and your body, and the total you will be blessed for keeping the Sabbath. Medical researchers have found that, you know, there are certain levels in the blood of oxygen and carbon dioxide. And if you get too much carbon dioxide in your bloodstream, you die. You got to have oxygen, you know. Well, they have determined that if you work hard or you play hard and you go home and you get a decent night's rest, how many of you know what that is? Well, I think some of you probably do. Well, if you get a decent night's rest, then a lot of the oxygen comes back into your bloodstream. But if you do that for 6 days, you're going to get some oxygen back into your bloodstream and you're going to be healthy. But if you take that one day and change your kind of activity, keeping God's day holy, then your oxygen in your bloodstream is going to be greatly increased.
And you're probably going to live longer for keeping the Sabbath day holy. So it's interesting. It's not just honoring your father and mother that your days may be long upon the earth, but keeping God's day holy. So that is honoring our Heavenly Father. Well, the sanctifying effect of a Sabbath well spent is implied in the word sanctify. It does not mean just to set apart, but it's interesting what the old German commentator, Colin Delitzsch, in their commentary on Genesis, said that this word sanctified here actually means to raise the believer into a participation into the pure, clear light of the holiness of God. Wow. That's a pretty good definition. Coming from these German scholars who believe the Scriptures, it means to raise the believer into a participation in the pure, clear light of the holiness of God. Sanctified. Wow. Now let's consider Christian liberty and the Sabbath. Well, Jesus was, of course, one who kept the moral law. And the highest liberty is always found in conformity to law. You ever notice that in your life? If you abide by the law as much as possible, probably the police are not going to pull you over on the side of the road like they did my son-in-law. I don't know where he is. But we were on the way here, and I think it turns out that, let them that be without sin cast the first stone. Because I was in front of him, and I think I did the U-turn at the traffic light when it was red, and he did it when it was green, so the police got him. But, you know, this is the truth, that the greatest liberty comes to those who are in conformity to the law. Okay? Jesus was one who kept the moral law. He did not go against the moral principles of the Sabbath, but he had the right to heal on that day, even as his father did. Now, do I not, as a believer, have a right to go shopping on Sunday, to eat out, to go to a ball game, and to buy a Sunday paper and, you know, just have these things? Well, what about loving your neighbor as yourself? Do you not know that the people who work in restaurants have to work for hours to have everything ready for your feast when you walk out of church? I used to go when I was, before I was a Free Presbyterian. I used to go with the young people. Man, we'd go out on a Sunday night. Man, we'd just have a great big time gobbling down the groceries after church, you know. I think now it's taking its toll on me. But anyway, I remember that. And I distinctly remember one time I was very convicted. What are we doing? I'm thinking, here we are. We're all in church having a great time, you know, being blessed. And then we come out here and we say, all right, you dudes, y'all stay out here and cook all this food. And then we'll come out here and eat it. And we really love your souls and we really care about you. We really want you to go to be in heaven with us in eternity. So just stay here while I go to church. I'm not really smart. But it began to dawn upon me, even in my mental state. But anyway, well, they're getting extra pay, you know. It's the weekend. Well, what pay could possibly make up for the loss of their souls? Well, the place is going to be opened anyway. Well, there actually have been some businessmen who have said this, who have verbalized it, that if the church people didn't come on Sunday, we couldn't be open anyway. Well, we must give account of ourselves. We are responsible especially for what we do in obedience to God. What others do is not our primary responsibility. Well, God's Word asks the question, will a man rob God? Well, if a homeless person came to your door, I was in Canada last Lord's Day, and a man actually came in during the service in need of help, and I was very happy that instead of you know, giving him a roll of dough. They took him down, filled up his gas with car. Filled up his car with gas. Yeah, let's say that right. So they filled up his car with gas and helped him out. But if a homeless man came to your door and they give you this pitiful story and you happen to have seven $10 bills in here, whatever you call this, and if you were to dig deep down in there and you gave him six of those $10 bills. And he goes, he sees you put that last one back. And what if while you're sleeping that night, he comes and robs you of the last one? Well, that's terrible. Such gross ingratitude. What an awful, heinous crime. Indeed. Well, isn't that exactly what desecrating the Sabbath does? God has given us 6 days for our work, for our recreation, for our pleasure, and He only reserves one day for Himself. When the London Evening Post began their Sunday edition of their paper, one of their writers a few weeks later actually put this in that paper. He said, "Sunday newspapers are twice cursed. They curse him that prints them and him that reads them." Wow. Well, we used to have blue laws, and they kept most businesses closed on Sundays. And you know, those blue laws are really better than the lawlessness that we see in our time. They weren't bad things. Well, the purpose of the Sabbath is to give God's children a whole day each week to be free from the contaminations of the world. That's one of the great purposes of it. To give us time where we don't have to go out, you know, and just do everything like we do the rest of the week. Well, it's time for Christians to stand up for righteousness and for the moral law of God. Let us not set our own standards by our own preferences or by the opinions of worldly men. Let us obey the Lord in keeping the Lord's day holy. This is the way for spiritual prosperity. This is the way for great national prosperity as well, and even saving our sinking civilization. "Them that honor me, I will honor," is still in the book. But most importantly, as I said at the beginning, the Sabbath is the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. An object lesson. When the creation was finished, God rested and He was refreshed. Exodus 31:17 tells us, "When God, our Redeemer, finished our redemption, He cried, 'It is finished.'" And we read here in verse 1 of Genesis 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished." Well, it is our Lord Jesus Christ, having finished the work of our salvation by suffering, you know what He did that Sabbath day? He rested the whole Sabbath day in Joseph's tomb. It was only a part of the day on Friday, and it was very early on the first day of the week that our Savior rose from the dead. But it's interesting, is it not, that the whole Sabbath He lay there resting His body in the grave. I want you to turn to the New Testament, over to Hebrews chapter 4. There's a most interesting portion there having to do with Christ and our relation to the Sabbath day. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 8. Here's an interesting Greek word. It's translated Jesus, Jesus in the Greek, from the Hebrew, Yahashuang. And that is Joshua. And this, when Joshua, the word Joshua, who brought the people into the promised land and gave them that kind of rest, when Joshua brought them in, he's referred to here in verse 8, "For if Joshua had given them rest," that Jesus is exactly equivalent to the Old Testament Joshua, For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest. Interesting Greek word there, sabbatismos, a keeping of Sabbath. There remaineth, there continues, there abides a Sabbath keeping to the people of God. Now here's the spiritual lesson. Praise God. Look at verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. I ask you, have you entered the true Sabbath? The true Sabbath is Jesus Christ. If Joshua had brought them into the fullness, then there would be no need of another. But praise God, another greater than Joshua has come. And he has finished that great work of our redemption. And we read in this 10th verse, for he that is entered into his rest, or into this true Sabbath, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. I ask you, have you ceased from your own works? Have you been good enough? Have you been faithful enough? Have you tried hard enough? Have you given yourself fully enough? All these things can be used as bombardments from the devil to make you think that you could even do anything that would approve you to God or make you acceptable to Him. You know, salvation is not doing. It is ceasing from your own works. It is completely removing your dependence from anything you've ever done, from anything you ever will do. You can never have assurance of faith. You can never enter into full assurance of faith in Jesus Christ unless you have ceased trying to justify yourself before God. Don't even look to your prayer. If you look to the prayer that you've prayed, you're looking at one of your works. You've got to look away. Oh, it's good to look back. But most people don't look back far enough. You may look back 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, even 100 years. None of us are that old yet, but you may look back to this decision. Yeah. Well, you're looking back in the right direction. You just need to look a couple of thousand years back. Because there, our salvation was hanging on the tree. And He said, it is finished. So you can cease from your own works as God did from His. And that's the only way you'll ever have rest for your soul. So many people try to make another decision, do it again, and maybe everything will be better. I don't know how many decisions I had. But I praise God that one Sunday morning, sitting in Faith Free Presbyterian Church, it finally got through my thick head that Jesus had done enough. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Hallelujah. There is salvation in cessation from your efforts to rely on what Christ has done. Praise God for so great salvation. Jesus Christ is our true Sabbath. Have you entered in? Do you know that true rest for your soul? He says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Rest from all of those doubts and fears and worries. Was I sincere enough? Have I done enough? No. Jesus, only Jesus Christ, has done enough in pouring out His blood for our souls. Don't try to add anything to that. If you try to add anything by your own works, you're saying it wasn't enough what Jesus died. It's wonderful just to rest on Him and in Him. For He is our salvation. It is Him. He is our salvation. Rest on Him today. Let us pray together. O God, our Father, we do thank Thee for the truth of the creation week and the rest of God. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt bless Thy people today with the enjoyment of that rest, the fullness of Christ, the great accomplishment of our redemption. Lord, we praise Thee for the privilege to cease from man, His breath is in His nostrils, and to even cease from our own works and truly rest in Christ. Bless all these young people. O Spirit of God, we confess that this is a truth that cannot be comprehended by the natural mind, and Thou must write it on the heart. We pray that Thou wilt do so. For the glory of our Redeemer, we pray in His name. Amen.